Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Morning Show. The home team. No, it's both. It's the crossover.
Crossover. Step back.
Right here on 960theref.com.
All right, this is episode number 192 of the Crossover Podcast. David Johnston and Jeff Dantzler. I'm from the Morning Show here on 960 The Ref. Jeff from the home team on the old 96er, and we do appreciate you joining us. And as always, please, if you're just finding this, you know where we are living these days, just the 960 The Ref app. No, wait, it's not just the 960 The Ref app. It's also the App Store on your iPhone and Google Play on your Android. But we do suggest, if you don't have the 960 The Ref app, download it today. Well, Mr. Dantzler, good afternoon, sir. It is Friday the 13th. It is August 13th. Normally, we're doing the show on a Wednesday or a Thursday, but we are closer to the weekend, which means tomorrow will be 21 days until the Dogs and Clemson Tigers kick things off up in Charlotte. So if that's week one, then the week before that's week zero. Next weekend, in my mind, is week negative one. So tomorrow's week negative two. Mm-hmm. So we're getting closer and closer to kickoff.
Yeah, very excited about it. And I think one of the big things that coaches talk about, and this goes all the way back, when you're playing a big-time opponent, it's a lot easier to get your players' attention and to have that focus and that fire when you know you're not playing the little sisters of the poor, when you know you've got an elite team. And that's certainly the case for both Georgia and Clemson with what should be a great opening game. I'm at a boatload of talent for both of these teams that, as always, have extremely high expectations.
Well, you know, the preseason polls are out. We actually have a coaches poll, which I'm not really that high on because it's the coaches, and you and I have discussed this over the years. It's like, if I'm a coach, I'm voting my team number one and everybody I'm playing 2 through 12.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
But it doesn't matter now. But it is interesting that Bama, and they are the men at the top of the hill, they got 63 out of 65 first place votes. So
even with all they lost, yeah. I mean, they've been doing it for so long now, and they've been able to reload. I mean, I get it. For my Bulldog Illustrated top 25, I put them third, but I can't remember. Clemson or Oklahoma 1-2. Okay. But I mean, the odds are they're gonna be there at the end in the
There's
hunt
a good chance.
It.
Yes, I would say so. Lincoln Riley does not vote in the coaches poll this year. Kirby does. So did Kirby vote for Alabama, or did he vote for Oklahoma?
I would bet he put Alabama 1, Oklahoma 2. And, of course, the way the information is now, you're thinking like, oh, my gosh, if we play one of these teams in a huge game, he only voted us number 3 back in August. Like, oh, my gosh. There's so much you can go into it. And, Dave, this is one of those, you and I could go down a 2-hour rabbit hole here, which would be tough since, you know, we have to do our actual live shows. But I've always thought, too, when you're doing a preseason poll, are you voting? Like, DJ, if you're a voter, and I said, all right, I need your ballot, are you doing it on who you think
exactly
the best team is today, like week one, who are the best teams? Or are you essentially predicting who's going to be the national champion, who the best teams are? And I think when you start doing that, then you're taking things like schedule into account because – Team A could be a better team than Team B by a little bit, but Team A could have a much, much rougher schedule. Therefore,
True.
Team B might wind up having a more successful season in terms of wins and losses. So, again, are you doing it kind of with a vision of how it's going to come out, or are you doing it by saying, like, hey, listen, Alabama, I think they're the best team, but my goodness, They got to play seven brutally tough SEC games. I think they're going to lose two or three times. I don't think they're going to, and I'm just using this as an example, Bama fans. Don't get mad.
Yeah.
So, but I think they're going to lose two or three games. But I feel like right now they have the best football team out there. So do you vote them one?
Is it a power poll or is it a yes. a prediction of the future? Is it a crystal ball?
See, leave it to Dave. He said, is it a power poll or prediction of the future?
Well, I kind of stole that from Phil Steele because he has two different rankings in his magazine.
Okay.
So he's got a power poll and then he's got his top 40 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're not the same.
Sure.
And because of all the exact things that you just said, strength of schedule, returning starters, mm-hmm. how many seniors do you have? How many freshmen do you have? And certainly, I think the biggest thing is the schedule.
Absolutely.
Is the schedule. What kind of schedule do you have?
Leave it to me to argue with Bill Parcells, one of the greatest coaches ever, but when he would always say, you are what your record says you are, I get what he's saying, but I disagree with that because not all schedules are created equal.
Exactly.
And I know he was talking about pro football, but still, you get that first-place schedule. Back in the old days of a 16-game schedule, you get that first-place schedule, and let's say you're in the AFC East, and you've got to play the Kansas City Chiefs, and let's say you're playing the AFC South, and you got to play the Kansas City Chiefs, and you got to play the Baltimore Ravens, and that team that finished third or fourth last year gets the Cincinnati Bengals and the Denver Broncos. It's just a completely different animal. And as we well know, you know, and obviously in college a schedule can mean everything, but in the pros, DJ, you know, that might mean the difference between 10-6 and 8-8, which means postseason or not.
Well, I understand what is being said there, but if mm-hmm. you took Bama's schedule and you took Clemson's schedule and put it in front of any coach and said, which one do you want to play?
Come on.
Yeah, like it's going to be Clemson's schedule.
Well, that's right.
So, yeah, the schedule does have a lot to do with
it. It certainly does.
Clemson's going to be, not just a double-digit favorite in the rest of their games after the Georgia game, but they're going to be close to a 20-point favorite in the rest of their games.
No, I agree. I mean, Florida State, they're always going to have players.
Yeah.
And I think they're recruiting well and moving back.
But they're still trying to find themselves.
Yes, and then they don't play North Carolina, who's on the other side.
Right.
So they'll probably have the best team over there. But it kind of goes back to the big picture things here in the playoff era. And I get – you know, well, let's say Georgia's been the fourth, fifth, sixth most successful team, say, the last 3 years, whatever. My contention is you look at college football, a big problem. Clemson's won the last six ACC titles. Oklahoma's won the last six Big 12 titles. Ohio State's won the last four Big 10 titles. You know, my contention is you could say for Georgia, and I'm sure, you know, Florida fans would say the same thing, but if Georgia was in the Big Ten, if Georgia was in the Big 12, if Georgia was in the Pac-12, if Georgia was in the ACC, the odds are pretty good. The Dogs would have made the playoffs at least once or twice more since 2017.
Yeah.
And even look at Bama, and we all know the rules are a little bit different for them. Their hardest part during this run has been getting through the SEC. I mean, they did not play in the SEC title game two of the last 4 years.
Right.
Whereas you look at the other, again, Ohio State, Clemson, Oklahoma – they're in there and they're rolling. That they have not had that challenger step up. Now, certainly in the Big 12, you would think Texas could get there, but you know, in that Big 10 East, DJ, maybe Penn State. You know, it hasn't been Michigan. They had that one shot at them, had a tough call go against them, and you know, for Clemson with FSU and Miami not being at peak form, that there's just not that legitimate contender.
Yeah, it just goes to show you could get to the playoff in the SEC without getting to the SEC championship game, and that's not possible in the other conferences.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
It's not possible in the other conferences.
Correct.
But unfortunately, what we've seen here in the first few years of the playoff is basically the same teams.
Yes.
And that's why we're headed to your favorite thing, an expanded playoff.
They're
power conferences and all that stuff.
Sure. Just turning it all upside down.
In fact, just dawned on me, you and I haven't been on the air, haven't had the podcast together yet since some of these dominoes are falling. And by the way, if you notice, it's gotten really quiet, but you know there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes right now for all these other schools.
I'm sure it's probably like with politics, when the election cycle is over, the last thing anybody wants to hear or see is another political ad.
So yes.
You go from getting inundated with it. And I think that the thing that's happened with college football, whether you like or dislike these changes, and I'm an old dinosaur here, but between the NLI, the transfer portal, the super conference expansion, the proposed 12-team playoffs here, these are basically the biggest changes that have hit college football within the last 45 to 50 years, and they've all come within the last 6 months. It's just been this tsunami of change, and I guess some people are for it. Certainly the people in charge are for it, but for a lot of fans like us, there is definitely some trepidation going into this because, you know, college football season is something that – it's been a constant for our whole lives. It's what we get so juiced up for. And there, it's one thing to tweak, but to just have radical changes and potentially more radical changes coming, it can make you uncomfortable. And it certainly made me uncomfortable to think, am I going to recognize in the next year, two, three, four, 5 years, the game that I've loved and known my whole life?
Well, you know, changes, I mean, it's not that conferences, and we can go back and look at conferences over the years. There's been change.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
But, and that's going to happen. I mean, you look at the SEC, you can look at the Big Ten, you can look at the Southwest Conference or the Big Eight or the Big 12,
all
the Pac-12, they've changed. But the thing that's different now, though, is the expansion of the area of the conferences.
The geography.
And even 30 years ago, and you and I knew each other 30 years ago, so I even remember us talking, it was like, Arkansas almost seems like that seems like a weird fit in the SEC. It doesn't maybe as much now, but back then even Arkansas seemed like, oh, you're kind of stretching it here. And then 10 years ago, there's Missouri and Texas A&M, I know. And now you're adding in Oklahoma and Texas, and that doesn't really stretch the area as much as the other expansions did, but it's a whole different ball game bringing those two schools in.
Yeah, it is.
Because you're taking, and I talked about this with, I think it was with our buddy Josh Connor. Every conference has kind of its personality and its who everyone thinks runs the conference. Because like in the SEC, Bama, the ACC, North Carolina.
Tobacco Road.
Yeah, that's probably a better way of putting it. The Big Ten, Ohio State, Michigan.
Yes.
And the Pac-12, if you think of like USC or UCLA, yes. It kind of centers around them. And the Big 12, it centers around Texas and Oklahoma. So we're bringing in, and when I say we're talking about the SEC, we're bringing in the alpha male into a conference that's already got its alpha males.
Yes, that's a great point. And I think when you look back historically at some of the changes that happened, when Penn State joined the Big Ten, they were an independent.
Yep.
The deal that really, and I think looking back on it now, and I guess a lot of legal scholars would tell you sometimes when there's a case that happens, you might not feel the effects for 10 or 15 years, but was Nebraska being poached from the Big 12
right.
to the Big 10, because this is...
And they still don't seem like a fit to the Big 10.
No, they don't. And this is... And I know that they're not what they were, but this is an all-time great college football program.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That all of a sudden, they're going from one power conference to the other, and I think we probably didn't think about that as much at the time. And then even still, you felt like with the SEC, before that happened... Yep, South Carolina and Arkansas were on about the same page. Even when A&M and Missouri came in, thought, okay, good programs there. But Texas and Oklahoma, if you're going through the history of college football, these are two of the six or seven, three or four,
yeah.
or however you want to look at it, most successful programs in the history of college football. And all of a sudden, they're coming into a league with Alabama and Florida and Georgia and Auburn and LSU and Tennessee. And, yeah, it's like you said, it's not a traditional middle to upper middle. These are big dogs.
This isn't adding South Carolina.
With national championships, Heisman winners, legendary coaches.
Yeah. I know. Alabama and Georgia and Florida and LSU, they'll play nice until they until they're pushed.
Yes.
And there's and we'll see how that goes.
There's so much. And in the end, of course, it's all about money. But part of my balking to all this is, all right, number one, what I care most about is Georgia and Georgia winning.
Yeah.
And it just got much harder to win. And then number two, the money, it's all relative because the teams you're competing against in your conference, it's not just like, well, we're getting an extra whatever the number is, $10 million. No, Florida's getting it, Alabama, everybody else you're competing with is getting it. So it's all relative.
I know. I mean, you could look at it and say, well, the expansion of the playoff, which is going to happen, does give teams more access. So you could look at it that way, but then it's more games you got to win.
Oh,
so would you rather keep it at four and take your chances there, or would you rather have a chance in a 12-team format?
Well, the other thing you're coming up with, and I know there are arguments you could come up with and say, well, you'd have to play a game anyway, but do you want to be in a spot at the end of the year? Let's say Georgia beats Tech, but like last year, let's say we lose to Alabama into Florida, but we're ranked seventh or eighth, and we're going to get in the playoff. Is it a good thing you lose to Florida because you don't have to play in the SEC title game?
Yeah.
And that could very well be the case. And then I know an argument would come up, well, if you play in the SEC title game and win that, maybe you wouldn't have to play in that first round. But in the end, you know, we've seen it again twice with Alabama. And, of course, they've beaten SEC teams in the national championship game, BCS and playoff era. They have gotten in without having that jeopardy of having to play in a conference title game. So this is just one of those deals, as we like to say, and the consequences, the unintended consequences. But in the end, I don't think a lot of the powers that be really care. They're just overwhelmed by the money.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I get it. They can sit there and look at 4 or 5 years ahead, 9 or 10 years ahead, and know if we're going to keep up with these other schools, we got to have some money. I know the other schools are getting more money too, but this isn't going the other direction. And I know for a fact that there's people, in fact, I've talked to some people at Georgia that say, hey, look, it's not our favorite thing, but it's inevitable. It's not going the other direction.
And you're exactly right. And then let's talk about this too. What about Kansas State, Iowa State?
Yeah.
What about all these schools in the old Big 8, the Big 12? They're just left out there. And make no mistake, it's football driving this because nobody's been knocking down UConn or Kansas's doors.
And it also goes to show you that this is football.
It is football.
Because if basketball were a big deal or a bigger deal, Kansas would be a big player.
So then you start thinking, okay, well, what's next? Is it going to be a Florida State, Miami, Clemson, and then Tobacco Road joining in from the ACC?
Yeah.
And then you get to a point, well, if you got 30 teams and people who are 40, well, why don't we get Michigan and Ohio State? Well, why don't we get Washington? Why don't we get everybody? Then you get to a point where, well, you just basically
back to where you were.
You become the NCAA, and then the divisions become conferences.
Conferences again, and you're back where you started from. Yeah,
it's like that old movie from the 50s, The Blob. You just keep eating more and more.
But it just won't be as big. You'll have less teams.
Correct.
And it's kind of what you have now. You got the Power Five and the Group of Five.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And the Group of Five is going to be a notch lower, and the Power Five is going to be stronger and get more money.
But you think about it. In college athletics, I would say in the 70s, you had two enormous significant events in Title IX and the integration of the South, which was an enormous game changer and obviously a great thing across the board. And really, and obviously there have been some, as we've said, with some conference expansion, the BCS, then into a four-team playoff. But all that since the integration of the South and Title IX, since those two landmark, I guess, events or occurrences, the last 6 months or whenever all this over the NLI and the portal and the playoff talk and the mega conference expansion, Oklahoma, Texas. I mean, I feel like these are the four biggest things that have happened since then. And again, to repeat myself, which I do a lot, it's all happened within like 6 months.
I know.
It's
I know.
Fast.
It is. The creep moves faster than it used to.
Maybe that old creep wasn't the worst thing.
Wait a minute. Hang on a second.
It's
been quiet on the Western front. We'll see what's going on. But if you think the other schools in the Big 12 are just sitting there waiting to see what's going to happen, I can promise you they're not.
Yes.
They are not.
You know, it's interesting, too, that when you look at the history of all this, the SEC was formed in 1933. In the SEC, you had your what I would consider our 10 charter members plus University of the South, Tech, and Tulane, 13. And you had your ACC, which was 8, plus then South Carolina and Furman. So it was 23 teams. That was a Southern Conference. It split east of the Appalachians, west of the Appalachians, because 23 was too big.
Yeah,
and now
16's
pretty darn close.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's, I guess it's right in the middle between 10 and 23. So you're
definitely, you know, I've never done a deep dive into Swanee, but they ended up leaving because they were going to was their athletic, I guess they were pulling back on athletics.
Like, sort of like the Ivy. I think they were wanting to go more towards Division III now.
Yeah,
And so that's what happened
That's
there.
What happened with them. Then you still had Tulane and you still had Tech.
And Tech got out because they had such a great decade in the 50s.
Yeah.
They didn't want to, Bobby Dodd didn't want to share the money.
Yeah. And not a good decision on their part.
And then I don't know if Tulane felt maybe they couldn't compete, but – you know, then the two of them fell out, and we were at 10 for a long time.
Well, you know, it's funny. What would a Tulane LSU, matchup have been like, rivalry? That had something to do with it.
Yeah, it used to be a thing, obviously, and then they obviously played every year, and then it's bizarre. Yeah. And I've always thought it'd be great if Tech was in the SEC. Just from our end for scheduling, I mean, you think about it, DJ, we'd have a home and home with men's and women's basketball.
Oh, yeah.
You'd have that three-game series with baseball, football.
The scheduling aspect of it would make it easier, but the rest of it, they can go. They can go Exactly. I get it. I totally, especially for the football scheduling.
Oh, yeah, it would open up another game. And now, I know you brought this up the last time we were together on an afternoon or a morning show. Then it's – so now also looking, I would say all future football schedules now, because we're supposed to play Oklahoma in 2023. Is that still on? Because they come here in 31.
Yeah.
That'd be a conference game then. Or is all that just going to get wiped?
It's a good question. And you can't imagine that Texas and Oklahoma, the Big 12 is going to still be around in 25 when that media contract ends.
I would bet they're in
23. Yeah, I would too. This year's going to be – going to be rough for them when they start having to travel around and that kind of thing. We've got a divorce, and yet the husband and the wife are still living in the same house.
Does that work out?
Yeah.
There was a great story. My buddy, Dr. Reefstack, one of our team doctors, told me this. And Doc went to Illinois, and great sports fan and big wrestling fan. Wrestling's big in the Big Ten and the old Big Eight. And he said he talked to a couple of his buddies from Missouri, and they had said, since the SEC doesn't have wrestling, they asked the Big 12, can we still compete in wrestling at the Big 12? And they told them to get out.
Leave.
So the answer to that was no.
And don't let the door hit you in the backside.
That's right.
Another interesting school about all this is Notre Dame, too. And I still think, even with all this, if Notre Dame doesn't want to be in a conference – as long as they've got the ACC picking up their Olympic sports, I think they're going to – I don't know that they need to. They'll still have the same access to the playoff, especially if it expands. They'll have easier. They'll have the ACC carrying all their Olympic sports, and they still got the TV deal.
With NBC?
Yeah.
Hey, why would you?
Yeah.
Again, like you were saying, divorced and living together, this is one where, God, I've got this beautiful wife, but she's letting me date other people.
Exactly.
That's what Notre Dame's
got. That's what it
got.
Is, yeah. And unless the ACC started saying, we want you to join, and if they threaten to not let them be in the conference, then what happens?
Yeah. And Notre
Dame. Their Olympic sports, that is.
Yeah. Notre Dame's just such a different animal. Because I'd always figured at some point when Penn State got in the Big Ten, I would say, Notre Dame will come in there and be the 12.
Yeah.
And they waited so long because I think at that point, 12 looked like the number, and the Big Ten was probably hesitant to commit to someone in case Notre Dame were to come in. And you know, you're kind of playing that game. Because I even thought, too, with Syracuse, I thought, well, okay, that's Western New York, which, Dave, you've been to Western New York for sports, but Western New York and Western PA.
At the correct time of year, that is.
Correct.
Yeah.
Western New York and Western PA are more Midwest
than
like than when you think about New York City,
sure.
Philly. Like Buffalo, Syracuse is more connected with, say, a Cleveland.
You know, absolutely.
Pittsburgh's more connected with Cleveland or Cincinnati than they are New York City or Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So I thought Syracuse would have been a great fit.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they're at a conference where Miami also plays.
I know.
That's amazing.
It's bizarre.
And that's the thing. For all the sports that we do at work, too, that's a funny thing. And I never will forget, DJ, about 4 years ago, we had the midweekers back-to-back against Tech and Clemson. And one of them we looked like, I think Tech was going to Pitt and Clemson was going to Boston College in, you know, late March. It's absurd. So then you start to think in the future, are they going to wind up where it's just football and then maybe the Olympic sports for cost, that you're going to go back to have some common sense with geography?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know that anyone's thrown out common sense in all this until you just did.
Mongo only called in Game of Life.
I don't know. The schools aren't going to want to – they're going to still want to protect their Olympic sports.
They are. So that's where you wonder then, okay, well, are they just going to, say, maybe go by divisions?
Yeah.
And I can tell from a small school standpoint, when I was a kid down in Statesboro, Georgia Southern, like the TAC was spread out. They were in Little Rock and schools in Texas and Louisiana.
Yeah.
And you had Georgia Southern and Mercer and Stetson. And for baseball, you just played the teams in your division
until
the conference tournament.
Right.
And
that cuts costs. I get it.
It does.
Yeah, the travel.
So I could see in some sports maybe doing things like that in some leagues.
Yeah, that might be what they have to do.
And
then there's schools like, okay, West Virginia.
Got to
figure
do?
They're going to end up somewhere else.
Yeah, so do they go ACC or Big Ten? And then here's another thing that happens. So think about this right now. Pitt and West Virginia is a huge rivalry. Yeah, West Virginia and Penn State used to play. Pitt, Penn State, and West Virginia are all three in different conferences.
Yeah.
That's just absurd.
That is.
They should be in the same whatever that conference is.
Penn State, West Virginia. That's the iron triangle of,
yes,
of football
it is.
There.
They should all be in the same league.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's crazy.
And they're in three different leagues.
Three different conferences. Well, you know, it's just like Georgia and Clemson just across the
– Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of examples of
sure.
that. So it's interesting. I find it fascinating. But like you said, when you're a college football fan, what does it ultimately mean for your school?
And I love the SEC, but if somebody told me right now, hey, Georgia is going to move to the Big 12 now, and that meant we would win two national championships in the next 5 years, sign me up for the Big 12.
Oh, I know. I know.
Because I love Georgia more than the SEC.
I agree.
Hey,
if Kansas State wants to be Georgia's main rival, bring her on.
Right. If that guaranteed, you know, two national titles in 5 years, hopefully we can do that in the SEC. But for everybody, the winning got a lot tougher. And again, and from the money thing, it's all Florida's getting it, Bama's getting it, Georgia's getting it. So there's really no competitive edge.
Yeah, as far as that goes.
Within the league with who you're, for the most part, competing against.
Yeah, and then it depends on how you want to distribute it among your own teams.
And I've had a talk.
And by the way, the SEC is bringing in Oklahoma, obviously, for the football. I mean, we think of Oklahoma for the football, but they have a very good athletic department.
Oh, sure.
And everyone may rag on Texas because they haven't been what everyone thought they would be in football, but they're the team that – or the school, excuse me, that just won the Director's Cup.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about
– they're loaded.
Golf, tennis, swimming.
Yeah, they're track and field. I mean, everything.
Yeah, they're good at everything.
Yeah.
I mean, just like –
yeah. So it doesn't get any easier for anyone else.
No. I mean, the SEC was already the toughest league at all. And think about, like, for us with baseball.
Because
like,
you and I always say baseball is the toughest sport in the SEC to win.
And by the way, Texas?
Yeah. I believe they were in the College World Series.
And I think – I got to look this up real quick. I think their College World Series count is maybe 38. Longhorns.
But you know what I stumbled on while you were looking that up?
Yes. And Oklahoma's really good in baseball, too. Texas Longhorn. Oh, God, this was in. Yeah, Horns secure 37th College World Series trip. I mean, that is just.
If I remember this correctly, their season started. Game number one was a loss to Mississippi State at a neutral site.
Mm-hmm.
And their season ended with a loss to Mississippi State at a neutral site called Omaha.
She comes full circle.
Yeah.
Comes full circle.
So what's the SEC doing? Just adding another team that was in the College World Series. It's crazy.
Crazy it times, really Daddy. Crazy times. Well,
look, we only have a few seconds. I was going to pick your brain, but we could maybe save it for the next one on how we kind of have joked over the years that Secret Agent Muschamp has been on his his journey, and he's been to Florida and brought them down, and then he went to South Carolina and took them out. Now he's back home. But now when you talk about Will, it's like, hey, with the things that George is going through, how nice is it that he's back home?
Just having that experience, and I think somebody that Kirby can rely on. And they've known each other for so long, and you just wonder if that brings a different perspective, if Will will be able to cut through the noise that I'm sure every head coach deals with, which I think was probably an unintended consequence for having all these analysts. And I would imagine in every big-time school's got them that, you know, you might have this young guy, because that's how Jeremy Pruitt got it. Hey, I might find this thing on this play, and you got a lot of people talking. And then everybody also, you get a challenge at head coach. It's a good job. I want to hang on to it.
Yeah.
Will doesn't need the money, and he can cut right through it. I'm not saying this has been a problem at Georgia, but I would guess at just about every big-time school, it is an issue for coaches. And I can tell you, like when Kevin was helping with the kickers, there was one time, it was a windy game against Lou Lafayette, and Kevin just simply said, all right, 10 yards deeper going that way, 5 yards shorter going that way because of the wind.
Yeah.
Just cut through the noise.
Right.
And I think Will be able to do that. And it's also somebody that Kirby can say, hey, what do I need to do here? And this is somebody he's known. I mean, Kirby's freshman year was 94. That was Will's senior year. So they've known, you know, they were living together, making, what, 12 grand a year down at Valdosta State. So, yeah, he doesn't.
See, the bench coach in baseball.
Right. So he can say, listen.
Equivalent of that.
Here's what you need to do. This guy could do better. This guy not so much. Like, oh yeah, this guy's good. But I get it too. I mean, for anybody, if you've got a sweet job, are you really going to buck the boss?
Yeah.
And you know, so I've always thought it was a good idea for a coach to kind of have that chief of staff that he's known forever, who could say, hey, no, that's a mistake. Don't do that.
Right. Right. So yeah, welcome back.
Because, you know, there are a lot of, in these positions, there are a lot of harumps for the governor.
Yeah, yeah. And, again, all our best to Scott Cochran.
Yeah, hopefully he's getting
everything back together and straightened out, and hopefully a big return, and, and we'll see how it all plays out. Jeff?
Enjoyed it, my friend.
By the way, we didn't even get to, because we love to talk about college football and golf.
Golf.
So we got to have at least a minute about golf, or it wouldn't be a crossover podcast. The Dogs are representing at the Wyndham Championship. And by the way, you and I talk about like sneaky good tournaments. And the thing I do like about this tournament that they play up in Greensboro, A, it's the guys that are trying to get into the playoff, trying to keep their card. But it's also, it reminds me, and I'm sure it's the same for you, you see the golf course and there's a couple of holes that's got a street right next to them with like the power lines and you know, off in the distance, the woods and everything, and they got cars stopped. And it's like, it reminds me of like Lanier Country Club in Spartanburg. It, you know, a good old Southern golf course. And this is Donald Ross, but I just like the way it looks. I like the fact, it just reminds me of my childhood of, it just looks like an old Southern course.
To go from the clubhouse in the ninth green to the 10th tee at Forest Heights Country Club, you have to cross Forest Heights Drive.
Exactly.
Which is where I live. And you know, so in the golf course, you got to look because cars are flying down. And then when you come back in, to go from 15 to 16, you got a cross country club road.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, you got to be.
I know.
And you got the power lines. And yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like you're having to worry about the power lines, but just you
yeah,
see them.
You see it.
They're, you know, they're running parallel with the, some of the holes. I like it.
I do too.
It's cool. It's,
I do
to me,
too.
And, it's a good old classic Southern golf course.
Don't get me started on Play Slow DeChambeau, because I blame him for Harris yeah. not pulling it out last week. But.
Oh, and by the way, here's the thing about this tournament. You know, you're looking at Ricky Fowler, Justin Rose, these guys who are trying to mm-hmm. make the cut just so they can not have to fall out, you know, to get into the playoff. Remember, it was like 3 years ago, Harris had to make the cut and I don't remember what he had to finish.
One shot, basically.
But no, he made it. He kept his card, or he was 125 or 124.
I was talking about one year. He missed the tour championship by one shot.
Oh, the tour championship.
Year.
No, this is like 2 or 3 years ago.
But he kept
he
the
needed
card.
To play well here just to get in the top 125.
And look
and
at him.
Look
now.
At him now. He's back to number 10 this week in the world.
Got one
Ricky
twice.
Fowler, he'll probably find himself again. You know, he's certainly out there in the desert right now. But these guys have these
hard
times.
To stay sharp.
It just goes to show how good these guys are. But, yeah, really great to see the dogs representing, because I know yesterday Russell had the lead with the 62, and Kirk had a great day. Hudson Swafford had a great day. Whoever else I'm leaving out.
I know.
So, yeah.
Look, every week we got – and they're all great guys, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Awesome guys.
So can't wait to see how things play out this weekend. Jeff, as always, enjoyed it.
Yes,
we'll catch
sir.
You again next week. So we talk college football and we talk golf.
Golf shots.
Love it. Absolutely love it. All right. Thanks so much for joining us here. And you can find us on the 960 The Ref app, or you can head to the App Store, your iPhone, Google Play with your Android. He is the one and only Jeff Dantzler from the home team. I'm David Johnston from The Morning Show. This has been the Crossover Podcast on 960 The Ref and the 960 The Ref app.
You've been listening to The Crossover on 960theref.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.